irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Hey, everybody, welcome, as you always are. How about this time? On LATalkRadio.com. The most interesting, entertaining, irreverent talk radio station on the internet. As always, I have a great topic for you today, and I'm going to help you out with some of your concerns, with some of your psychological questions and problems and issues going on. We're going to cover so many things, hopefully, by the close to the end of the hour today. I always invite you guys to email me, Dr. Michelle, on my email address, hooked up here to the station, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So what I do is I ask you to, you know, ask me questions about what's going on. And I don't do email therapy. I don't do that. What I do is I ask you to, you know, just reach out and maybe I can discuss your issue on the air. So then I go ahead and contact you back and say, hey, I'm going to be talking about the question you asked me about, whatever. For instance, today we're talking about, what does codependency mean? What's that all about? What does passive-aggressive behavior mean? And why is my partner doing that? We're going to also talk about things like how to stop arguing so much, especially when somebody knows how to get your triggers going. And also a big topic that I deal with almost on a daily basis in my practice here in Los Angeles, it's domestic violence or some kind of emotional or physical abuse issues. And it's not always between a man and a woman, whereas the man is the person who is abusing. It goes the other way as well. And any type of partner, for that matter, there's emotional and physical abuse in every type of relationship. But today we're talking about partner kind of emotional abuse, but I'll give you a good definition of that. And as always, I invite you to call in if you have any questions or comments. The number here live in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And, you know, just reminding you all that we don't have a, you know, therapeutic relationship. We really don't. I'm just giving you ideas and suggestions. So I'm not your therapist. I just give you some statistics or information on what I know and things that I've learned in the past that are kind of healthy behaviors. And also, I'm going to help you define things so you can figure out if you are a passive-aggressive person. What is the definition? What does that mean? So you got to apply all these things to yourself and think about these things. All right? And as I always say, you probably may want to ask a therapist in your area. You know, you might want to go to a couples specialist if you have relationship issues, or somebody who does really good individual therapy for you. You know, depending on your particular need, whatever it is, anxiety, stress, relationship, self-esteem, they're all out there. So anyway, that's enough of that. So I thank you guys so much for emailing me. These emails have come over, gosh, I would say the last 3 weeks. And I've had special guests on. We've been talking about anger and also how to have a really healthy sexual relationship with your partner, how to build trust, things like that. So I decided to answer your questions today straight away and invite you to call in. You guys out there, 323-203-0815. And so I'm answering the questions. I've already contacted you. And so let's get rocking with the first question I want to tackle here. And this comes from Jessica, who wrote me about 2 weeks ago. She says, I've been trying to figure out whether I'm codependent or not. Okay. My fiance, who's an alcoholic, has been in and out of rehab 3 times over the last 2 years. After several months of getting out of rehab, he then relapsed. He will also start going to weekly AA groups for several months, but then he doesn't follow up with his sponsor, and he drops out. All right. He gets back into his stressful job and starts to drink after work to, quote, wind down. I don't drink, and I'm tired of being his cheerleader, trying to get him to stay sober. I told him I'd stay with him no matter what. But on his last drinking binge, he went to a casino and lost about $13,000. Oops. We had saved for our future. Okay. I've threatened to leave him if he doesn't go to rehab. When I said that, he'll get sober for several months, then relapse, and on and on. His drinking has really messed up his ability to keep a job with any law firms. He's an amazing, kind, smart, and resourceful guy who passed the bar exam on the first try. Am I enabling my fiancé by not being stronger? And can you tell me whether I'm being an enabler or a codependent person? All right. Thank you, Jessica. That is a great question. You know what? This is one of the most common things I hear. All right. So what I can do is I can give you my definitions, professional definitions of what codependents do or what kind of, you know, behaviors they do. And also we can talk about some of the personal things that you might look at within yourself to see if you have some of those characteristics that may keep you hanging on to this person who is having issues. Now, let me just say this. He's not a bad person. Because alcoholism is a disease, for real, but you have to fight it, you have to work on it, you have to keep up on it, you have to take care of yourself, you do need a support system, but usually from the people in the community who are trying to get sober. So, what you do is you go to rehab, you usually go to a sober living house afterwards, or an outpatient treatment center, just to titrate down, and you go to a massive amount of support groups. Usually AA, a lot of people think it's too religious for them, whatever, but there are a lot of, support groups out there to keep you sober. And also get a sponsor, get a psychologist, and get a psychiatrist. So that's what your man should probably do. And I say psychiatrist because some people are really deeply depressed and or have a bipolar disorder, a mild form even, and they mask it by drinking. No. Okay. So that's just another possibility. So I always suggest that people get all the support and the help they can. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to tell you right now that you've got to kind of look at yourself a little bit, Jessica. And I'm not blaming you either, because we get into these patterns of hoping so much that our mate or our best friends or our family members will get sober. They go into rehab and we're all excited and they're all pumped. Because the environment's good and they've got activities and they've got groups every day, and then they get out and fall off the wagon again. So here's a few symptoms of codependence. You got to look at yourself. And you may not have all of these, and you don't need all of them to qualify as a codependent. So a lot of the people who I come in contact with who are trying to be the cheerleaders for their substance abusive friends, family members, have low self-esteem. It's true, because you feel you're not good enough, or you compare yourself to others. And the tricky thing about self-esteem is some folks think highly of themselves, but it's only a disguise. And I'm going to tell you right now, some people are afraid to really be harsh and strong and call it quits on a relationship of someone who keeps going back into drinking or using, and you keep taking them back, hoping, again, not your fault, but some people feel they're unlovable or inadequate, and they'll never find anybody else, so they have to settle for this person, and you know what, you're getting something out of it. Also, another symptom of codependence is being a people-pleasing person. It's okay to want to please somebody we care about, but codependents usually don't think they have a choice. Because saying no causes them anxiety. Saying, no, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm gone. Okay? So you're going out of your way to sacrifice your own needs to accommodate your guy. A lot of people who are codependents have poor boundaries too. It kind of divides up what's yours and somebody else's. And that applies not only to your body, money, and belongings, but also to your feelings and thoughts and needs. So you kind of get into trouble sometimes. You have blurry or weak boundaries. Do you have those, Jessica? I don't know. Also, reactivity. So do you react to everybody else's thoughts and feelings? Right? Also, caretaking. This is a biggie. Okay, you feel that it is up to you to caregive your guy. Okay, this is a biggie of poor boundaries. So you think that if someone else has a problem, you want to help them to the point that you give yourself up, right? But if you keep caregiving and hoping and hoping and hoping, and your man is not showing that he has the strength or the, you know, support, maybe he needs more support to really work on himself and keep the relationship going, you're going to keep caregiving him. And you have to look at your life down the line. Do you want to do this for the rest of your life? Do you want to be a caregiver? Do you want to keep hoping he'll stay sober? Do you want to keep hoping he'll sustain a job? And, oh yeah, the gambling thing. He really does need to go to maybe Gamblers Anonymous groups. Maybe when he drinks, you know, he just has what are called risky behaviors. Risky behaviors. And that can also be associated with other psychological disorders. So he does need to go to a psychiatrist as well. By the way, by you being a caregiver, Jessica, you know, you're controlling things. You want to take control. Okay? Because control helps codependents feel safe and secure. Now, we all need some kind of control in our lives, right? You wouldn't want to live in constant, you know, uncertainty and chaos. But for codependents, control limits their ability to take risks and share their feelings, right? So what you're doing is you're trying to control and make sure and make sure he's going to be okay. And, you know, what's happening is you are actually kind of controlling the situation. You have control. If you're caregiving him constantly and being that victim, yeah, I'm so sorry to tell you all these things. And I hope you don't fulfill all of these characteristics. But, you know, also codependence, hence the word dependency, need other people to like them to feel okay about themselves. So whether he's a alcoholic, a drug abuser, whatever he is, you need him to like you to feel okay about yourself. Okay? And are you into denial about this? Doesn't sound like you are. Sounds like you're pretty square on it. So listen, hopefully, Jessica, you've learned by some of the things I've suggested to you, and I would go to the Al-Anon groups. Yeah, Al-Anon groups or the codependence groups out there. They're free. They're all over the country, and I don't know where you live, but I thank you so much for emailing me. And again, no judgment, no blaming you. It's what we do sometimes to survive in our relationships. We become codependent. But if someone is you know, just tearing down you and your relationship and doesn't care enough to get help, to really get enough help, or doesn't know how, you've got to turn him over to the folks who can help. And give him some ultimatums, too, unless he goes to sober living again, gets sober, goes to Gambling Anonymous or AA or some kind of other support group, gets a psychiatrist and a psychologist. You're going to really put the relationship on pause. That is my suggestion, again, not therapy between you and me, but just a suggestion, because you'll see if this is going to motivate him enough to do it. Okay? He can get help. He can stay on track. There's a lot of folks I've worked with who stay sober. They stay in the program. They keep working it. And they have people around them who do not enable them and are not codependent. All right? You can be a cheerleader. That's cool. All right. So I thank you so much for emailing me. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's where you email me for some of your issues and problems and things going on in your life. Or if you want to call me live, you can ask me on the air, 323-203-0815. And again, I'm not giving you therapy. We don't have a relationship, a therapeutic relationship, rather. But, Yeah, I'm just giving you suggestions and ideas and things based on what I know, what I've experienced, statistics, and all that stuff. So we're moving on. This looks like Jameson. Jameson, thank you so much for emailing me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And he has a really cool question, because this is something else that comes up a lot. I think we all do this kind of behavior too, but it's just sort of how much you moderate it. So Jameson asks, I want to know what being passive aggressive means. He says, my girlfriend does some things that really piss me off. Sometimes I feel like I'm going crazy because when she gets upset, she withholds having sex. That sound familiar? Or she doesn't respond to my texts right away. She uses the excuse that she's busy or stressed, or that her phone was off. Nobody's phone's off. Come on. Jameson also says, she'll look on my phone or see something on my Instagram or Facebook page and think I'm flirting with other women or cheating on her, which I'm not and never have done. So when she's mad at me for something stupid like that, she shows up late to dates. Oh, God. And says that I told her a later time for us to meet. Oh! I thought it was like... But she does this all the time. Some of my friends have told me that my girlfriend is passive-aggressive. So can you give me an idea of what that means and why people do it? Okay. Well, we all do it from time to time because we don't want to deal with conflict or we don't want to confront somebody all the time. So, you know, we do little passive-aggressive things, right? Like, have you ever had somebody go belly up when you ask them to do something? They might tell you that they're going to follow through, just like Jameson's girlfriend. And they might even make some kind of meager attempt at action. But usually the thing doesn't get done or didn't get done right. Or So let me give you some examples of passive-aggressive behavior. All right. It's actually a form of emotional abuse sometimes. And it can manifest in a lot of ways. But it has the common features of nonverbal negativity, resistance, confusion, and it's totally the opposite of open and honest communication. See, I'm that gal that always says, hey, you got to talk to that person about how you feel. And you can say it in such a way that you won't hurt people. But you got to find the words. You got to work on it. But don't be passive aggressive. All right. So it sounds to me like she's doing some passive-aggressive behaviors. You guys probably need some couples counseling to find out why she's so mad at you, for real. I don't know if it is because she thinks you're cheating on her. Maybe. Well, she's accused you of it, I guess. But maybe there's other deeper issues that she needs to work on about her lack of self-confidence or insecurity. You say you're a good guy and you're kind of confused about what's going on. And I don't blame you. It's, you know, again, it's ugly. So here's the thing. Some common passive-aggressive behaviors. I'm trying to think of the most common. Oh, one of the most common I always hear is people making chronic excuses for lack of follow-through or poor performance. Right? What a lot of we women do is we create drama or chaotic situations. That kind of defocuses us. Makes all the attention on us, kind of passive-aggressive, if we're not getting enough attention. Being chronically late or forgetting things in order to control or punish, that's another biggie. Someone's, oh, I thought you meant... And avoiding intimacy, like you said, Jameson, she withholds sex from you when she's pissed. So avoiding intimacy through anger or negativity. And not saying it, not saying like, wow, I'm really hurt because, but just being passive aggressive and not telling you why, like, oh, I'm not into it. Don't touch me. All right. We've all done that, right, girls? Sure. Another one is using guilt or sulking to punish or gain attention. And of course, blaming everybody else for your being late, for your making mistakes, for your... Oh, I had my phone off. Yeah, sometimes. Maybe we do that. Let's see. Also, some people create intentional obstructions to punish or get somebody else's way. All right? Also, another one is the silent treatment. You know that one? You guys know about that one, don't you? The silent. Well, a lot of women who come to see me have guys who do the silent treatment on them. I'm going to be unresponsive or non-communicative to avoid discomfort or conflict, but I'm going to play this game like you get to figure out why I'm mad. And if you don't know, you are guilty. If you don't know why I'm mad at you, it's your problem. So that's basically some of the, those are some of the characteristics of passive-aggressive behavior. That's what it is. It's people who just can't communicate honestly, and they've learned how to do this unhealthy behavior through who knows where. Parents, I don't know, they got their way by withholding and being passive-aggressive. They didn't get enough attention. They're always controlled. People, you know, use passive-aggressive behavior for so many different things. So, you know, that's what it's about there. And I'm trying to think of anything else, you know, to tell you to help you out. But I would say go to couples counseling or go to an individual therapist and ask that person if what your girlfriend is doing to you is passive-aggressive behavior and get the suggestions of how to survive that if you want to hang out in the relationship and learn more about it and try to, you know, get along and teach her to be a better person. All righty. Thank you so much, Jameson. I really appreciate your email. That was awesome. All right, guys. This is Dr. Michelle, and you are on the couch with me here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're rocking it today with a lot of your personal emails that you sent me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and I'm so happy to answer the questions that you've asked. We don't have a therapeutic, I'm having a hard time saying that word today, therapeutic relationship together. So, yeah, I'm not your therapist. I'm just giving you ideas and suggestions. That's all I'm doing here, based on my experience and also statistics about what creates good relationships, healthy relationships, you know, things like that. So I'd love to hear from you, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, and or like I said, you know, it's always great to email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And we have somebody on the air right now. Hi, who's this? Hello, hello. Let me punch them up on the air again. See if they're live. Oh, there we are. Hi there, you're on LA Talk Radio. Who's this? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello, you're on LA Talk Radio. Who's this?
Oh, hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Yeah, what's going on?
Love your show. First-time caller, long-time listener. Thank you so much for getting my call.
Of course.
I was listening to today's show, and it made me think about a couple things about myself, and I was wondering if I could just ask a question to answer a few things about me,
yeah,
and my self-esteem.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me.
So I just recently started working for an investment firm.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked to make a speech.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're hosting it's basically just like a company gathering, and because of my track record, I've been asked to make a speech regarding who you know, what I've done and how I ensure,
yeah,
the success in this industry.
Okay.
Well, I am not a good public speaker.
Okay.
I do not have the self-confidence that other people have when it comes to being able to speak in front of large groups.
Okay.
I don't know what to do. I have been receiving tremendous anxiety ever since I found out I have to do this.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if you guys could maybe give me a piece of advice.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in, Kevin. It's so nice to hear from you. I sure appreciate it. So how long is your speech that you're supposed to give?
about 5 minutes.
Oh, that's good. That's a good thing because it's a short speech. And you can write this whole speech down and then read from it, correct? You don't have to just kind of fake it out there or memorize it, right?
Yes, I believe so. I will be standing at a podium.
Oh, good.
There will be people sitting at a dinner.
Okay.
It's going to be a rented out venue, and I'm going to be the only one. It's just everyone's going to be staring at me.
And, right.
I am not. I've never done this before.
Okay.
I had to speak when I was in college for, you know, some of my communication classes that I did just to get my general education before receiving my degree.
Right.
And right. I did not do well in those classes because I did not know how to speak in front of a group of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now this is my life and this is my company. This is not my company, but this is my source of income. I cannot embarrass myself in front of these people.
Aww.
And I just don't know what to do, Doc. I'm extremely anxious, and it's coming up in on Friday of next week. So I don't know what to do.
Well, there's good news here. Let me tell you all the positives to this. First of all, you got to change your thinking a little bit, Kevin. My suggestion is to look at it this way. Good news, you have a whole week to prepare. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So have you written down what you would like to say yet?
Yes.
I've
written down points. I just don't know how to put it in a way where I could communicate it to a group of people. I know the points I'm trying to get across, but I don't know how to say it.
Great. So what you have to do, and I'm not going to tell you how to write a speech or write a thing, but just some tips. You have to write it like you're talking to your best friend. So use those points that you have, like an outline, the points that you want to make, and turn some of those points into a conversation with your best friend. So how would you talk to your best friend and say, you know, starting out a conversation? It's always cool to start out a speech with something that's going to grab their attention or a question that applies to the thing. So if you have, depending on what you're talking about, what are you talking about in your speech? What kind of thing? It's just like, is it like to invest in?
I'm going to be explaining to them certain strategies on how to successfully, basically how to be successful in this industry.
Great. Oh, perfect. Okay, great. So are you young? Do you mind me asking how old you are?
Sure, I'm 28 years old.
Oh, you are young. That's awesome because it's always great. They're going to look at you and say, wow, this guy's young and he's speaking here. So this is positive thought number two. They asked you to do the speech. They didn't ask anybody else. They asked you. Why is that? Because you're probably really good for the firm. You're successful. You present well. You're a nice guy. People will like you. And they also are giving you an opportunity. So you got to spin that to a positive. All right, Kevin?
Thanks, Doc.
You sound nervous.
I appreciate that.
Sound nervous.
I'm just extremely nervous. I don't know how. I don't know. I know what I want to say. I just don't know how it's going to come out in front of a large group of people.
Well, you write it down exactly like you're talking to a friend of yours, and you practice it. You look in front of the mirror. You practice it in front of your friends. If you have a girlfriend or any kind of friends, you practice it in front of them. And you get good criticism from them, like, relax, chill out. You know what? Everybody usually is not going to be judging you. Everybody's looking at you as, that's the spokesperson. That's the person who's going to intro the dinner or intro the gathering. And, hey, he's cool. You look good, right? You're dressing up. You looking good? It's your body language, too. Keep your body language open, Kevin. Keep your arms on the podium or open. Don't jiggle in any way. Don't bounce in any way. Spread your glance back and forth to the audience.
I'm just taking notes really quick.
Oh, cool. And you can listen to this show again. It'll be up in the archives as soon as we get off the air. So you can, replay or download it, okay? So
perfect.
Yeah, use your glance, span the audience in the back, occasionally look at people in the front. Use open hand gestures when you're explaining. Like, they say, they have a joke. It's like, I went Italian on him. right? You open your hands, you open your arms when you're talking sometimes. Not all the time. Don't always keep your arms at your side, but don't be too demonstrative. But open arm gestures with your hands out sometimes when you're trying to make a point are opening yourself up to the audience. All right?
Yes.
Smile.
Yes.
Smile. Keep it light. Always smile. So the key to this is exposure to the feared situation. The more we expose ourselves to a feared situation or a feared object, the better we feel. We realize that we're not going to die. We're not going to faint. We're not going to have... And people usually are so concerned about themselves that they're not worrying about you. The company asks you to speak for them, so they obviously believe in you. So you have got to also recognize how good you are. All right?
Yeah.
So practice.
Thank you.
Practice. Practice. And don't forget to write down your successes in that you have in your life. Don't think about any of the negatives. Write down your successes. Write down all the good things that you've accomplished. Try to be positive. Look in the mirror and give yourself the speech in the mirror, and you'll be cracking yourself up. But look in the mirror and give your speech. Practice your body language over and over. You got a whole week. Like I said, talk about it to supportive people. Give the speech. They'll give you some ideas. Relax a little. You know? Nobody is perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. Okay?
Yes.
Just stop worrying. You have, when you start going, oh my God, oh my, think, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? What is the worst thing?
Well, I think the worst thing is I feel like, you know, my employers, and especially the people high up, the president of the company is going to be there.
Great.
You know, the CEO, the CFO, everyone that
that's
means
great.
Anyone that means anything in this investment firm is going to be present at this gathering.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that could happen in my eyes is I make myself look like a complete idiot by not speaking in the way that that suits their preference. I understand the business like the back of my hand. I understand the numbers and how to do this business with great effortlessness and ease. It's having to speak about it to a large group of people that I cannot. I've never been good at that, and this is the greatest opportunity of my life firm to show them what I'm made of. But it's not through speaking; it's through my actions itself of performing my numbers and performing, you know, my career in the way that I do. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. You
so,
just
okay, yeah. So open hand gestures.
Yes.
No, don't jiggle around. That's something that I do even when I speak to anyone. Is I shake my legs a lot.
Yeah. You're going to be standing, so you won't be doing that. Take some nice deep breaths. Take some and breathe. Speak slowly. Have it all written out for you. You will have practiced it for a whole week in front of friends, supportive people who can give you critiques. And realize that you said you're really good at numbers and you're good, you know, this stuff, but, you know, so easily. Look, you're giving them an opportunity to hear you and your expertise. This is like you said, you just answered your own question. This is your opportunity to shine because they chose you. So everything that has brought you fun and confidence and feeling great, go back to that place. And each and every time before you practice your speech, get in the mindset of, wow, I was so good when I played that guitar on that stage in front of those people. I was so good when I spoke up for my girlfriend and I had confidence. I was so good when I was talking about crunching the numbers with my company and with my CEO. I was so, think of all the positives. Pump yourself up, you know, pump you up and do that emotionally. Do that emotionally. go through it in your head. And you said to me, I've never been good at speaking. Right this moment, you'll never say that again. I am good at speaking, and I'm going to prove it. I am on a quest to prove it. Just like you've been on a quest to do all the things you wanted to do that you thought were fun, that you thought would help you. This is going to help you. You're going to be amazing. Think of how this is going to propel you. And I know you're going to say, well, that's what scares me. Look at this as an opportunity.
Yes.
Like
yes.
You're talking to your best friend. Make yes. everybody in that audience the face of your best yes. friend, whoever that is. And some people have said to me, hey, Doc, I've heard that it's really fun to pretend everybody sitting in the audience is naked. Because they're naked.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Well, that's kind
that.
Of a fun tool, but you have to have a real good imagination. And you got to hold your laughter down because you may be looking at someone, picturing them naked, and think, oh, my God, that's scary. But anyway, that's a fun tool sometimes people use. But here's my thing is really build up your confidence. The way to practice, practice, practice. Fill your mind with positive things about how good you are and how easy certain things are for you that you've accomplished. Get in that same mindset. This is just talking in front of people for 5 minutes with a script on a podium. Practice. So when you get up there, you're done. Everybody's your friend out there. You are. Okay, here's another good one. Is there a favorite actor of yours? Do you have a favorite actor you like?
I really like Robert De Niro.
You like Robert De Niro. Good man. You be Robert De Niro. How would Robert De Niro present the financial stuff to everybody out there? What would he do?
With confidence.
With confidence. With
strength.
Yes. He'd open his arms. That's right.
Almost like a sense of leadership.
Yes. You be Robert De Niro in a particular movie where you loved a character of his. And he's talking, and he's doing his arm gestures. And he's giving yes. advice. Did you see Robert De Niro in The Intern? Did you see that
yes,
movie?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
You be that character where he's giving advice. It's easy. It's rolling off his tongue. It's a matter of fact. He's kind of funny. He's wise. He's
yes.
giving everybody a, act as if. You become him.
Yes.
You become that. You become an actor. And then
yes.
it gets easier and easier. Okay?
Oh, thank you so much, Doc.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really can't thank
hey,
you enough.
You know what? You're a smart guy. You're going to do great.
Thank you. This helped me more than I could ever describe.
Aw.
Wow. I just love you. I love your show, and I love everything that you offer to people. Thank you so much, Doc.
Wow, thank you.
Definitely re-listen to the show
yeah.
and
take
more notes and apply these things that you told me to do.
Cool.
I'm going to practice in the mirror.
Good.
And that's a great, what a great suggestion. You know, pretend like you're your favorite actor.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
That strong guy.
Definitely going to do that. Definitely going to do that. Because it's easy when you think to yourself, you know, oh, I'm just pretending to be this person.
Yeah.
It's easy to think to yourself, oh, I'm just going to act a certain way, as
yeah.
opposed to thinking to yourself, well, I need to find it within myself to, you know, to speak correctly to all these people. It's definitely a different approach. It's a different psychological approach. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome, Kevin. And I thank you so much for calling here on the couch. And I hope I helped. And hey, good luck. Let me know how it went. Shoot me an email, okay? I want to hear about your talk.
I definitely will. I will email you. Doc, you helped me more than words could ever describe. Thank you so much.
Right.
I love you. And thank you for all that you do.
All right. Blessings. Take good care. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Bye-bye
now. Bye. All right. Now, that is good. That's what I like to hear. That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. Oh, man. Good guy. All right. Thank you so much for calling. I've got some more emails I'm going to go through real fast here because I promised you that I would help you out. So, let's get rocking with it. Here's this is something that is concerning me a lot, and I wanted to do this before we got off the air today, so I just wanted to throw this one out there. It's not a happy subject, actually. She says, a friend of mine is a victim of domestic violence. Her husband drinks, and then when they get into arguments, he has slapped her, grabbed her, and slammed her into the wall, and done many other things. Sometimes she doesn't even argue with him, and he just goes crazy for stupid things, like when she comes home from work later than usual or doesn't do chores. Okay, this is kind of scary. She's never gone to the hospital because her injuries aren't that bad, and she's afraid to call the police because she doesn't want to make him madder and get hurt worse. I keep telling her to leave him and that she can live with me while she gets a place of her own. She is so dependent on this guy because they have good sex, and she's so insecure about not ever finding another man. So I asked her to listen to your show when your assistant told me that you were going to answer my email today. Can you explain how dangerous this guy is and why she should get out of the relationship? Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much, anonymous person, for trying to help your friend. Did you guys know, domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women? Sending over a million every year to doctor's offices or ERs? And it's usually not occurring from the hands of a stranger, but from the hands of usually a partner that has actually said, I love you. Well, some don't. You know, it occurs in all cultures, races, religions, classes, same-sex relationships, all kinds. Domestic violence is perpetrated by men and women. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who've been abused by women. But right now, about 95%, I think, are the statistics of reported domestic violence cases are men abusing women. So there sounds like there's physical abuse here going on, but there's always emotional and verbal, sexual, of course, physical, real serious physical abuse. You know, playing mind games is emotional and verbal is screaming and yelling, that kind of thing. Just basically... really beating someone down to become powerful over them. It's sad because you said here, Anonymous, that your friend is very insecure about not ever finding another man. Well, I think it's much better to be alone and to have the hope that she would find another man and to work on herself than hang out with somebody who may kill her eventually. And I'm serious. You take somebody, like you said, and how did you put that? What does he do? Yeah, he grabs her and has slammed her against the wall. Well, that's a head injury right there, or back injury. So who knows how badly this is going to get? Who knows? Your friend may not live through this. So I want her to listen to this, and I want you to send this to her after the show's up in the archives too as well. Because she needs to get out, and she needs to move in with you. If you're kindly enough to help her out and find her a place, get her some help. There are a lot of, if she, you know, has financial issues, there's a lot of support groups for women who have been abused. I don't know what area you're in. She needs to get into that ASAP. She needs to, if she cannot live with you, get into some kind of a shelter for herself. She needs to get away from this person immediately. And I know there's a lot of financial sabotage. There's a lot of, I can't do anything because he holds the key to the finances. Well, what's the choice here? You got a friend who's willing to put you up for free and take care of you and help you for a while till you can get on your feet, or you might not survive it. Choices. And it's not judging against you, honey, who is suffering from the domestic violence. No. Judgment on you at all, sweetheart. There's certain survival techniques that we all have, and one of them is just allowing ourselves to be abused. So you get into this kind of wheel, you get into this habit, and it's really very scary, but you got to get out immediately. So tell your friend she needs to get out of there ASAP, get to support groups immediately. If she can afford a therapist who specializes in physical and emotional abuse, definitely help her out. Take her to someone. You sound like a wonderful friend. And know that the physical and emotional abuser really needs to get help himself. But it doesn't sound like he's willing to do that. So, you know, there's really personality disorders that go along with this. Antisocial personality, borderline, narcissistic. This personality disorder realm is very common in being an abuser. So, but she's just got to get out of there because these people control. They have a sense of entitlement that they can bully or abuse someone, a feeling of superiority, hence the narcissism, possessiveness, confusing love and abuse. They're manipulative. Who wants to live with someone like this? Who wants to take this? She's got to get out of the wheel. She's got to get out of the cycle. So have her give me a call as well here at the station again if she herself would like to get some help directly, because I can sure give that to her on the air. All right? Right now, it's get out of there, save your life. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, guys. Thank you so much for emailing me all these great questions today. We covered a lot of super subjects, and I really appreciate it. What I'm going to do, we kind of missed out on a couple more that I was going to talk about, so we're going to do that next week. I'm going to answer some of those questions to help you out. Again, if you want to email me issues, questions, anything, go for it. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And also, I thank you guys for calling in. I thank you, Kevin. And I hope that helped you out with your, what is it? Not a social phobia. It just sounds like you are uncomfortable with public speaking. And I think you're going to get through it. It sounds to me like you've got it together. Guys, as I always say, do take care of yourself first. And then you'll be good for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. It's not narcissistic. All right, this is Dr. Michelle Cohen. I've had a blast helping you out today. Any questions, comments, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Be back next week helping you out with more of your stuff here on LATalkRadio.com. Have a good one. Bye-bye.